Good morning, church family. How are you? It's good to see you all today. My name is Scott Miller. Thank you, Ben, for that introduction, and thank you for your help today. You have made sure I had everything that I needed, and I appreciate that. Thank you, church staff, and for many of you all who have helped make sure that when I needed something, you found it, and that was good. And I was able to do this morning service, the early service, and then the Sunday school in between, and now. And I get to hear Brother Don preach almost every Sunday morning. My wife and I come to the early service and sit right back there under the overhang, the balcony part. But I have a newfound respect for him and what he does every Sunday morning and bringing two messages and a Sunday school lesson in between. So I'm grateful to be here. Thank you all, Central Baptist Church, for what you mean to our association, to the Faulkner Baptist Association. You are a leading church in our association, not just financially, but also in your support and your participation. There is rarely a Monday that goes by that there are not representatives from your church who are there with us as we pray together and encourage one another, especially some of the smaller churches in our association. You all are so faithful to be there and to help and to do, and I thank you very much for that and for what you allow me to do with you. This morning we're looking at Mark chapter 10, if you'd like to turn in your Bibles. Mark chapter 10, verse 46 is where we will begin. In our text, Jesus was traveling to Jerusalem. His destination was the cross. Many of those who were with him traveling were not actually traveling with him. They were actually going to Jerusalem for the celebration of the Passover. But Jesus was always a good traveling companion to have with you. And so many of them were traveling with him as much to see if he might do something before them and something that might amaze them as anything else. But they were all traveling together on what we know as the Jericho Road. Our text is going to say in just a moment that they entered into Jericho and then they exited Jericho, but doesn't tell us anything that happened in Jericho. Luke's gospel tells us that while Jesus was in Jericho, he had a conversation with a man named Zacchaeus and went to his home and had lunch with him. And then he left Jericho. But Matthew and Mark focus more on this encounter that Jesus had with two blind men on his way out of Jericho, one of those men named Bartimaeus. So look with me, if you will, in Mark chapter 10, starting to read with verse 46. Now they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabbi, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. The first time we see Bartimaeus, our first introduction to Bartimaeus, we find him sitting by the road. Bartimaeus, by this point in his life, would have been interested in only one thing, and that one thing is probably not the one thing that you would think it might be. We would assume that Bartimaeus wanted to receive his sight, that he wanted to be able to see again, but he wasn't thinking of regaining his sight. That was so far beyond his dreams and his imagination that he never even gave that a thought anymore. Bartimaeus was most concerned about where he might be positioned on that road. He wanted to be in that place that would bring him the most pity pennies from the crowd because he was a beggar. And a crowd meant more people, and more people meant more pennies. But on this day, when Jesus came by, he lost interest in the pennies and focused his blind eyes on Jesus. Bartimaeus had evidently heard of Jesus of Nazareth. He may have heard others refer to him as the great healer. And as the buzzing conversation of the crowd got closer to where Bartimaeus was sitting, he could tell that something different was happening and Jesus must be getting close by. And I wonder if he wondered if maybe something could be done about his blindness after all. Hey, when you hear about Jesus, your life can change. Throwing caution to the wind, Bartimaeus began to call out to Jesus. And when he cried out, the Bible says it bothered some of those who were standing around him, those who were trying to get past him to where Jesus was. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." They told him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more. In fact, the word that is used to describe how he called out is the word crazen. We get our word crazy from that. And in a determined way, with reckless abandon, Bartimaeus continued to call out to Jesus, shouting out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." You know, in the 1800s, Baptists were often known as shouting Baptists because they got so excited about Jesus and worship that they would often shout out, "Glory, hallelujah, preach." We don't hear that so much in our churches anymore. I don't know if it's because we've gotten too dignified, but we don't shout very much in our churches anymore, unless it's in possibly one of our business meetings in some of our churches. But that's a different kind of shouting. I like to think of Bartimaeus as being the first shouting Baptist. Some of you might sometimes want to shout in worship. I've been able to attend the early service for almost a year and a half now. We joined just almost a year ago. And I've heard Brother Don preach many times. And I know, if I know anything, that there have been times that you have been tempted to shout in worship, but for whatever reason you may not have. It's possible that you've been concerned about what others might think. But Bartimaeus wasn't concerned about the crowd around him. Bartimaeus just shouted out to Jesus. Just a couple things I want to bring to your attention before we move on. I want to pause here for just a moment and have a word for those of us who are believers and those of us who may not be yet. For us believers, I want you to notice how sad it is that we who are already closer to Jesus can sometimes be an obstacle to those who are not there yet. We who are in the church can sometimes be an obstacle to those who are trying to get the real Jesus. You can picture them. They're wrapped up in their excitement. They're caught up in the moment until some needy someone calls out and spoils the moment. We sometimes forget that Jesus came to have a relationship with all people. Not just the people who are like us, not just the people who look like us, not just the people who think like us, not just the people who act like us. Jesus came to have a relationship with all people. And God forgive us when we get in the way. We sometimes forget that we were once lost too. But there's also a word here for those who may not be believers yet. I want you to notice the perseverance of Bartimaeus. Just because the church got in the way, he didn't stop calling out to Jesus. He didn't let anybody get between him and where Jesus was. He swallowed his pride and he called out to Jesus. He realized he had no time to lose. Jesus was on his way out of Jericho. Had Bartimaeus waited, maybe even for one more minute, Jesus would have been out of hearing. And Bartimaeus would have missed his one big chance. So he risked everything for this one big opportunity. If you're here this morning and you don't yet know Jesus as your personal Savior, would you be willing to do as much as Bartimaeus did? Think of all you have to gain by calling out to Jesus compared to all you have to lose if you don't. We see Bartimaeus sitting by the road, and then we see Bartimaeus coming into the road. The Bible says that when Jesus heard the call of Bartimaeus, he stopped. When Jesus heard the cry of a needy man, he stopped. And let me tell you something, he always will. And the Bible says when Jesus told those who were with him to bring the needy man to him, and let me tell you something, that's still what Jesus is telling us today. Bring the needy ones to me. Isn't it interesting how cooperative this crowd became once Jesus became the cool thing to do? When Jesus said, "I want you to bring him to me," suddenly everybody was cooperative. Suddenly everybody wanted to be a part. And when Bartimaeus heard Jesus wanted to see him, Mark describes in really much detail for Mark's gospel. He describes what it is that Bartimaeus did. He threw off his beggar's coat. He rose to his feet, and he felt his way to where Jesus was. That coat labeled Bartimaeus as a beggar. By throwing that coat away, he showed his faith in Jesus. A beggar's coat was a different kind of coat. A beggar's coat often had inside pockets within it, so that when those who were begging would receive food or when they would receive money, they would stash that away in the inner pockets of the beggar's coat, so that it would always appear that they had nothing and it would always appear that they needed more. A beggar's coat was a unique coat. It was especially for Bartimaeus. When Bartimaeus threw that coat away, when Bartimaeus shed that cloak and began to make his way to Jesus, he was throwing off his security blanket. He was throwing off everything Bartimaeus had, everything that might have been tucked within those pockets, the food or the money that Bartimaeus had. Everything that he owned was in that coat. And when he went to Jesus, he threw it off. He threw his security blanket aside and he began to make his way to where Jesus was. That coat represented his old life. And in faith, he tossed it aside and went to Jesus. I think it's easy sometimes to want our problems to be solved. We've all got problems. And it's easy sometimes to want our problems to be solved, but it's not so easy to do what we need to do to solve those problems. Think for just a moment of that thing that burdens you the most. Maybe it's a physical thing. Maybe it's some kind of some treatments that you're going through, an ailment that you're going through, something physically that you are enduring on a regular basis. And when you pray, that one thing is the thing that foremost comes to your mind. It may be a physical thing for you. It may be an emotional thing for you. It may be that your heart is hurting. It may be that you can't seem to function at night. You can't seem to function during the day. And you're needing something, but you don't know what it is. It may be that you have an emotional situation that you're dealing with. It's possible it's a relational problem. Someone that you love or someone that used to love you. And you're struggling with how to get through this thing. You know that in the kingdom of God, if we are to be right with God, we've got to be right with those around us. And so you're struggling with a relational situation. Maybe it's a financial thing. It's possible this morning that when you brought your offering, when you brought your tithes, and when you placed them in the plate just a few moments ago, it's possible that some of you did that by faith because you're not sure what the rest of this week is going to bring. And you're struggling with a financial situation. Maybe it's a spiritual something. Maybe spiritually you know you're not where you need to be, and you're not sure how to get where you need to be. I don't know what your situation is. I don't know what you would call your problem, but we've all got one. And whatever that problem is, it's easier to name the problem than it is to figure out how to solve the problem. Here's what I know about your problem. I know that it's not an easy thing. I know that it's probably a complicated thing, because if it were easy to solve, if it were uncomplicated to solve, you would have solved it already. It's easier to name a problem than it is to solve a problem. Bartimaeus realized what needed to be done to solve his problem. And he was willing to do what needed to be done to solve his problem. Bartimaeus went to Jesus. I wonder what might happen with our problems, our physical problems, our emotional problems, our relational problems, our financial problems, our spiritual problems. I wonder what might happen with our problems if we were to do the same that Bartimaeus did and take those problems to Jesus. We saw Bartimaeus sitting by the road. We saw Bartimaeus coming into the road, but the text closes with Bartimaeus following on the road. Jesus asked Bartimaeus what may seem to be an odd question. In fact, if you were to write a list of all the things that you would expect Jesus to have asked Bartimaeus, the one thing Jesus asked Bartimaeus is probably the last thing you would have expected him to ask Bartimaeus. Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" But Jesus wanted to give Bartimaeus the opportunity to say it out loud. He wanted him to recognize he had a need. He wanted him to recognize that he needed to voice that need. And so he asked Bartimaeus to say it out loud. I'm going to ask you to do a favor for me. It's not going to stretch you too much, and you'll not have to say anything out loud, but you may have to raise your hand in just a moment. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to do something. It's a simple something. But I'm going to count to three and ask you to do that thing, and I want you to do it with the first thing that comes to your mind. I just want you to think of whatever that is. In just a moment, I'm going to count to three. I'm going to ask you a question or tell you to do something, and I'm going to ask you to do it right there where you're sitting, just as quickly as you can. One, two, three. Think of a number. All right. How many of you thought of a number? Raise your hand. Good. Balcony. Good. Choir. Good. Almost 100% participation. I appreciate that. Now, when you thought of your number, again, a show of hands, how many of you, the number that you thought of was between 1 and 10? Raise your hands. Look around, church family. Look around. Balcony. Choir. About 95% of you or more, when I ask you to think of a number, you thought of a number between 1 and 10. I don't know why that is. Why didn't any of us think of the number 98,714? That's just as legitimate a number as any of the ones that we thought of, right? It's just as real a number as the other numbers might have been. But for some reason, when we thought of a number, we thought of a number between 1 and 10. I think we tend to think of things close to us. We tend to think of things small for us. We tend to think of things that we can get a handle on, things that we can understand. Most of us can count to a number between 1 and 10. Some of us have trouble with a number counting to 98,714. Most of us couldn't divide 98,714 or multiply that number by other numbers, but we can handle 1 through 10. So when we're asked to think of a number, most of us think small. But the sad thing is, when it comes with our relationship with Jesus Christ, we continue to think small. Most of us think small. Most of us dream small. Most of us pray small. If Jesus were to ask you that question, "What do you want me to do for you?" How big would you answer? How big might your answer be? Would you think big? Would you dream big? Would you pray big? Jesus asked Bartimaeus the question, and Bartimaeus could have answered and asked for more money. Bartimaeus could have asked for a new coat. He'd left his in the road. Bartimaeus could have asked for the name of a good eye doctor. But instead, Bartimaeus made a profession of faith. You may not have seen that, but it's right there. You see, earlier in the passage, when Bartimaeus had called out to Jesus, he addressed him by the national messianic title that all people would have used, whether they were believers in the Messiah or not believers in the Messiah. It was just a title that was used, and he was just one of the crowd who used that title, Son of David, calling out to Jesus. But here, now he refers to Jesus as one he would follow, calling him Rabbi. Some of your Bibles will have him saying, Lord, an expression of personal faith. Bartimaeus put it out there for everyone to hear when he answered, I want my sight. And Jesus granted his request in response to his faith. He was healed on the spot. And now Bartimaeus, now being able to see, is told by Jesus to go his own way. Now think of what Bartimaeus could have done. Bartimaeus possibly had family, possibly family he'd never seen before. Bartimaeus evidently had family or friends or acquaintances, someone who brought him to the edge of the Jericho road every day so that he could be there as the crowds would pass by. And they would come and get him late in the evening and take him back to their home or his home. He evidently had people he knew, people he was acquainted with, people that he had possibly never seen before. It would have made perfect sense to us if Bartimaeus had gone back home to see those people that he loved and who had loved him. Bartimaeus could have even decided that he wanted to go sightseeing. He'd never been sightseeing before. He could have decided he wanted to go bird watching. He'd never gone bird watching before. He could have decided he wanted to go to a viewing at the local funeral home. He'd never gone to a viewing before. Instead, he knew that his life had been changed. And when he went his way, we see that his way was Jesus' way. That's what happens when your life has been truly changed by Christ. So we look at Bartimaeus. And there are some things that we can learn from Bartimaeus. You remember, we used to sing the song, and still do sometimes, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you. Because Jesus is the most important thing any of us will ever see. Those of us who have been spiritually blind, or those of us who have been physically blind, Jesus is always the most important thing that we will ever see. So I would ask you the question, have you seen Jesus yet? We saw Bartimaeus sitting by the road and coming into the road and following on the road. When Bartimaeus was sitting by the road, he wasn't a believer yet. He knew some things about Jesus. He knew some facts about Jesus, but he didn't yet know Jesus. Faith is about more than just knowing the facts about Jesus. I know this church well enough to know that what our children are being taught in Sunday school or in youth group, the songs that we sing through the music program, the sermons that you hear from behind this pulpit, I know that what you are getting is good, factual information. But if that's all that it ever is for any of us, it's not yet enough. Faith is about more than just knowing the facts about Jesus. Faith is knowing Jesus. Faith is trusting Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. I would ask you the question this morning, has there ever been a time in your life when you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Don't leave here today continuing to sit by the road. Do what you've got to do to get to Jesus. We saw Bartimaeus coming into the road. Again, I would remind you not to let anyone, not to let anything get between you and Jesus. When you start making your way to Jesus, you make a beeline to Jesus. Don't let anything get between you and him. And when Jesus asks you the question, "What do you want me to do for you?" Go bold. Go big. Put it out there. Our God is a big God, and he asks big questions that come to a big heart with a big problem. And Jesus says to us, "What do you want me to do for you?" He didn't just ask that when you were saved, by the way. Jesus asked you that question over and over and over and over again. If you make your way to this altar in just a few moments, the question Jesus is going to ask you is, "What do you want me to do for you?" Do you trust him enough to be honest with him? Do you trust him enough to get big with him? To go for the big ask? To be bold with your Lord? Coming into the road means recognizing we have a need and recognizing Jesus is the only one who can meet that need. So if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that's your number one problem. You may have physical issues and emotional issues and relational issues and financial issues and spiritual issues, but your number one problem is getting to know Jesus. Trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that's your number one ask. And then we see Bartimaeus following on the road because his way had become Jesus' way. Has your way become his way? Or better yet, has his way become your way? Are you walking the path that Jesus has for you? The path that Jesus created you for? The path that Jesus planned for you and purposed for you? You and I may be able to accomplish hundreds of great things in our lives, but if we never figure out what it is that Jesus has for us, we will forever miss the most important thing. There is something Jesus has for you that he has for no one else. There is something Jesus has for this church that he has for no other church. Is our way going to be his way? Is his way going to become our way? Are you walking the path Jesus has for you? Blind Bartimaeus didn't see a whole lot until he did. And then it made all the difference in the world. It may be this morning that spiritually you've missed a whole lot. But that can change this morning. That can change today. That can change in just a moment right here at this altar. It can forever change. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see Jesus. Let's stand together as we pray. Father, as we stand before you this morning, I ask that you might ask each of us that question that you asked to Bartimaeus. That you might speak to our hearts in a way that we hear it, in a way that penetrates to the very heart of who we are. What do you want me to do for you? And then, Father, that we might be honest enough and bold enough to ask you to do what only you can do. Father, it's possible this morning that there are those here, many here this morning, possibly, who have never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And Father, I pray that you'll give them the courage that you gave to Bartimaeus, that they might step out from where they are, and that they might feel their way to this altar, to this staff who might be here, that they might share with them what it is that they need you to do in their lives. Father, for those of us who have never joined this church, have never agreed to be baptized following you in the obedient discipleship, Father, I pray that you might give us the courage to step out from where we are, to make our way to this altar, to grab someone that's here by the hand and say, I know that I need to be obedient. I know that I need to be closer to Christ. I know that I need to join this church. But Father, also for the rest of us, Father, that we might examine our own heart, our own way, our own will, and we might examine whether or not our path is your path, whether or not your path is our path. So, Father, help us to be obedient. Help us to learn from the life, the legacy, the testimony of a blind man named Bartimaeus, that his story might become ours. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The staff will be here. They will receive you. The altar is open. I invite you to come.
And there's just one thing that I want to say. Thank you.